Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 6 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-1-2. The phone number, toll free from anywhere. StephanieMiller.com. Check it out. You can email us all there. Executive producer Chris Lavoy, voice deity Jim Ward, or me, Stephanie Miller. Looky who's here right out of the box. Oh, I hope he doesn't turn an ankle.
Carl.
Carl Frisch. Exciting. Bullfightstrategies.com. Now, Carl, we are not laughing at you. We're laughing really hard at you.
Bust heads like we used to.
How does one dislocate a kneecap at dinner?
I was hang gliding, for the record.
Uh-huh.
Uh-huh. Liz Cheney and I were taking in the wonders of Wyoming.
Yes,
in God's
true.
Country?
God's country.
Hashtag God's country.
Country? Yeah. Jackson Hole, Wyoming, which is where, you know, when I move someplace, I always move to a ski resort.
Sure.
Right.
It's just what I do as a Cheney.
Now, last time we talked to you, you were in Alaska, breathlessly awaiting Sarah Palin's announcement of a Senate run.
I'm trying to get my frequent flyer miles some use. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, in all honesty, I was sitting down for dinner, and my foot was stuck against the table leg. And everybody put your breakfast down. Mm-hmm. As I turned to sit down on the bench, the bottom half of my leg was pinned and stayed straight. And the top half turned, and my kneecap popped out of place.
Ow.
So there you go.
That is why. And then did you start crying and say, why?
No,
why?
This is something you'll be familiar with, Stephanie. What? I had what is often called in the menopausal community a hot flash.
Yes. Oh.
And I immediately started sweating through all of my clothes in a very cold restaurant.
Oof.
This
was in public. This okay.
I practiced some Bill Cosby-esque lamas, and and there you have it. And then got everything taken care of.
Yeah. All right. That is a very sad little story.
Oh, I thought this was at home. So this was in a public place.
Right.
Oh yeah. This is it's
much really
more embarrassing.
Dislocate his knee reaching for a dinner roll, and that is just a sad little story. All right.
But you know what? I have a question for you, Stephanie. So now that Liz Cheney is running for Senate, I know her dad was vice president. Your dad ran for vice president.
Right.
I realize that you've often wanted to run for the Senate of New York.
Sure.
But all the itchy kitty in Reseda and your scandalous past in Los Angeles.
She has a whole graveyard of skeletons in that closet.
Yeah, before the Google machine, I thought I had a chance, Carl.
But come on, with Anthony Weiner and Elliot Spitzer running, you think that you couldn't just throw your hat in the ring?
Right. Well, you know what? I will take that under advisement. Now, listen. you were talking about, you tweeted about this right when it happened, challenging. It's kind of hilarious that there is a little inconvenience of a sitting Republican senator that is not retiring.
Oh, the Cheneys, and I'm practicing because, you know, if there's anything that we're getting out of this mess is Chris Matthews pronouncing the name entirely differently, far more often on air.
It's pronounced Cheney!
Liz Cheney did not want to wait. She obviously picked a state where she would have the easiest path to victory.
Yep.
But standing in the way is her dad's best friend. I mean, you cannot write this. This is like Shakespearean-level drama.
Well, and it looks like the other senator, Barrasso, has already come out for Enzi.
Enzi, yep.
Rand Paul, has already come out in support of Enzi.
Wyoming's representative in the House has come out in support of Enzi.
Cynthia Loomis. I mean, she was the one that was waiting for Enzi's seat. I know many people think that she's some kind of a autoimmune deficiency disease, Cynthia Loomis. but she's a congresswoman. She represents the entire state. She's the only member there. And she's been waiting for that seat to open up. He's 68 years old, which means he's one of the younger senators. She's jumping the gun here, and she's going to primary him. And, oh, how sweet it would be to see her lose a primary.
I mean, but what do you think?
Well, she'll obviously have the money, right? I mean, the Cheney family has been up to its eyeballs in big oil and the energy industry for a long time here.
Yeah.
She's worked in the defense industry, I believe at the State Department, and so she's going to have access to all the money that she wants. I'll be interested to see what she does on the campaign trail, if she keeps her distance from actually being available to people. But when you've only got 110,000 people voting in a primary, I don't see how she can avoid doing some, real interaction with the voters. And I'd love to hear how she differs in any meaningful way from her father's policies.
Right. Well, and plus she's a carpetbagger. I love that somebody wrote, you don't have to skew.
I believe that's her sister, actually.
Yeah.
Somebody wrote, you don't have to keep saying hashtag God's country when you live somewhere. They're like, people in Chicago don't like tweet pictures of themselves eating pizza going, hashtag Windy City.
Right? No, this is going to be, I cannot wait for her first mistake on geography or, you know, something very specific that people in Wyoming would know
right.
about.
Right.
You know, the only upside here is that, like, Senator Portman from Ohio, she's in favor of marriage equality because she has a gay in her family.
Right, right. And then wrong on everything else, pretty much.
Right, exactly.
Right. You also tweeted about Britain's marriage equality.
Fantastic news. And if nobody has seen the image going around from Reuters of the Queen dressed in every color of the rainbow flag throughout time, it's quite a great picture.
Wait,
but
did she really, or no, she just is?
Oh, no, this is just over time. So, like,
yeah,
took,
I get
took a picture
it.
Of her in red and,
right.
you know, all the way down to the rainbow.
And they put them all together.
I get it.
It's very colorful.
Yes.
But, yeah, it's fantastic news. And once again, the Queen, you know, the leader of a, you know, 600-year monarch, is ahead of the American people. I mean, what does that say about our country?
Yeah.
You know, the colonies got it wrong.
Yeah, yeah. Well, and she's a queen, first of all.
That's true. I mean, right. It's one step removed.
Yeah. How gay does the House of Lords sound in the first place? I mean, what's taking them so long?
Well, and I mean, it in the scheme of things, I mean, this brings us one step closer. I mean, there are now 600 million people in this world that live in a place where marriage equality is the law of the land. And just a year ago, that number was half.
Yeah.
Half of that. 5 years ago, that number was barely breaking 100 million.
Yeah. Yep. By the way, so you tweeted, because I'm hearing this more and more, you say word is Virginia's anti-choice pro-payola Bob McDonnell is planning to resign to avoid a felony charge.
Well, apparently that was a rumor in the right-wing blogosphere because they don't like that he raised the taxes. But it's probably a lot worse that he's not planning to resign to avoid being prosecuted, but he'll, you know, end up going to jail. The story here gets deeper and deeper, and it's endemic of the Republican Party in Virginia. There's a big story about Jerry Kilgore, who used to be the Attorney General of Virginia, and, you know, the current Attorney General of Virginia is a guy named Cuccinelli,
yeah.
who is running for governor. So it's very difficult for the Republicans to distance themselves. They've got a tenuous hold on the majority in the legislature there. It'd be very nice to see McDonnell take the entire thing down with him this year.
All right, wait. Yeah, I have to put you on hold here. Someone wants to make you feel better about your leg before you go. Kelly in Ohio, you're on with Carl. Go ahead, Kelly.
Hi, Carl.
Yes.
I want you to forget all about your little knee problem because I got you whipped.
Whippings.
My leg got crushed Monday between my ATV and a 10-ton road grader.
Ooh.
Oh, what's a Yikes. Road grader?
He was cleaning the ditches along our road.
Oh, dear.
Because we've had a lot of rain here.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, boy.
And he cut my phone line, and I jumped on the ATV to go down and tell him, because he does it every summer. And I was trying to get his attention in his side view mirror.
Oh, boy.
And he stopped in the middle of the road all of a sudden, and I didn't have time to stop because I wasn't expecting him to stop. And all of a sudden, his backup signal came on, and I panicked, and I hollered, and I didn't have time to back up because I was sliding in the gravel, and he just plowed into me and started pushing me back.
Oy vey. Good
and
God.
Crushed my leg between the machine and my ATV.
Oy, God. All right.
That's a much better story.
Yeah, that's a way better. That's a way more macho story. All right, Kelly, heal fast. All right, thank you. Wow, Carl.
Hashtag God's country, am I right?
Right, exactly. I thought that would make you feel better, but her story was much more macho than yours. I'm really sorry.
Well, that only means, because, you know, I actually officially, the story is I got hurt hang gliding.
Right.
So she must have crushed her leg like dropping a toaster oven or something.
All right, there you go. It's whatever you need to make yourself feel better. All right, Precious, we love you.
All right, talk to you
feel
soon.
Feel better. Okay, there
Bye-bye.
He goes. Aw, poor little Carl and his dinner roll injury.
Bless his heart.
Bless his heart. Suzanne in Scottsdale, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Suzanne.
Hi, Steph.
Hi.
Steph, I want to comment on Rachel Trebon's old girlfriend and
yes.
how they belittled her because she could not read cursive.
Right. And by the way, doesn't she speak like three languages?
Yeah. Well, the thing is, I have a 15-and-a-half-year-old granddaughter. Since sixth grade, she has studied advanced math and German. In her ninth grade, which she just finished, she coached in German and in mathematics.
Wow.
She is a 4.0 average student. This summer, she is taking two university courses. She lives in Nebraska, and she has been set up for the National Honors Program. Now, I'm left-handed. I have a beautiful handwriting, and my granddaughter cannot read my cursive because she was never taught it.
Yeah.
And I think that this is something that people should be aware of, to put people down for that.
Yeah, well, it's ridiculous, and also just because, you know, she didn't fit in their storyline of George Zimmerman hero. All right, 17 minutes after the hour, lots to get to. We continue on the Stephanie Miller Show.
We have to seem like a sexy, profitable company, and we're almost pulling it off.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
This hour of the Stephanie Miller Show brought to you by Identity Guard, making it okay to trust again. Go to identityguard.com. 21 minutes after the hour, 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. Let's go to Clara in Mississippi on the Zimmerman trial. Hey, Clara.
Hi, Stephanie.
Hello.
How are you this
Good.
Morning?
Good. Go ahead.
Good. I'm a first-time caller, but I'm a long-time listener.
Thank you. Go ahead.
Okay, I have a question about the Trayvon Martin case.
Uh-huh.
Did not change a venue apply there? Was there any reason why they didn't move the case out of Sanford?
I don't know. Yeah.
So much publicity.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I mean, that was like why the lawyer thought that knock knock joke was so hilarious about, you know, George Zimmerman, who, congratulations, you're on the jury. I mean, yeah. No, I think we have a lot of questions about how do you end up with, you know, six white women? I mean, it just.
Exactly. Yeah, I think they should have moved it, but I just don't know. I just hope the Silva case will be out of Sanford, I hope.
Yeah. Well, we'll see. We shall see. Governor Rick Scott of Florida on the Trayvon Martin.
I put together a bipartisan commission, and we went through. They went through and looked at it, and their recommendation is we not make any changes.
Yeah. Yeah, it's working great. The Stand Your Ground law. It's
sure.
Working terrific. Hal mentioned a case yesterday, which I had heard of. I mean, you know that. you know, his wife had a boyfriend, and you know he was able to shoot the guy and say, "Oh, I thought he was raping her."
Yeah.
Stand your ground, you know, and he gets, I mean, it's ridiculous, illogical, kill your only witness law.
Absolutely.
Why don't we just change the name of it? Karen in Virginia, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Karen.
Hi, yes. For all the wonderful people on the right that are making, you know, quoting all these Bible verses, I got one for them about Trayvon Martin. It's 1 Corinthians 13:11. It goes like this. When I was a child, I spake as a child. I understood as a child, and I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. Trayvon Martin was a child.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
He understood and thought as a child when this man was following him, and he was frightened. And when he confronted him, he reacted just like anybody else when he tried to defend himself.
You know,
George Zimmerman.
Karen, I think it was Eugene Robinson wrote a great piece about that. That you know that's exactly right. That he was a child, and even if he was trying to, you know, act like a quote unquote a man, he's still a child. You're right. He's scared, and he's trying to, you know, he said, put on, you know, that pretense of you know, not being scared, and he obviously was.
Right, but you know, George Zimmerman was a grown man, but he was still thinking as a child because he had his little gun and he was going to be the schoolyard bully and he was going to pick on somebody smaller than him. I'll tell you what, if Trayvon Martin had been a 6'5", 200-pound man, George Zimmerman would have stayed his butt in his truck like the police told him
right.
to.
Yeah, exactly. All right, thank you, Karen. Appreciate it. Let's go to Donna in Florida. Hey, Donna, welcome. Hi, Donna.
Hi.
Hi, go ahead.
Oh, my God. I wasn't expecting it to be so quick. I wanted to tell you a story about one night. We live in the country. Everybody has at least an acre. We have sidewalks. We have horses that go by. We have people that push their babies in buggies. Everyone doesn't know each other. But one particular night at midnight, I heard screaming in the street from kids and my dogs. I have four big dogs, rescues, and they woke me up. So I heard the screaming, and the girl said, "I'm going to effing kill you." So I called 911. The operator says to me, she says, "What do you hear?" I said, "There are children in the street. I can't see that far outside. I'm not going out. You know, I don't know if it's anything, if it's just a bunch of kids that snuck out. But, you know, I don't know what I'm calling you." And so my husband wakes up, and he's loud. He's Italian. He's loud. He's screaming. He's like, "I'm going out there. We have no guns." And he says, and the 911 operator says, "Do not let your husband go outside." And I said, "She doesn't want you to go outside." So then he says, "I'm letting the dogs out." I said, "No, you're not." She said, "Honey, please don't let the dogs out. The cops are on the way."
Right.
By the time the cops got here, the children had moved down the street. My neighbor was in his yard with his gun. He called my husband, yelling at my husband because I almost got him shot.
How did you almost get him shot?
Because he was in his driveway cocking his gun. You can't see out here.
Right.
You can't at night, you know what I mean? You can't see, but you don't go running into crazies. And we listened to the 911 operator.
Right.
And my husband said to the neighbor, said, "You know, my wife, the dogs are going to wake us up, and my wife is going to call 911 if she has a question."
Right.
But we listened to them.
Right. It seems, that's what I mean, Don. It seems to me anyone with any common sense doesn't go running into the middle of something like that. That's why, for the life of me, I can't figure out why people think George Zimmerman's some kind of hero. He's somebody that was sticking his nose in something that was none of his business, that he was told not to.
My husband, that could have been a bad situation that night. Any of the dogs could have got killed or hurt. Yeah. My neighbor yelling at me because he almost got shot because he's standing in his driveway.
Yeah.
He left his wife, his baby, and his dog in the house.
And by the way, tell your husband he's a jerk for saying let's let the dogs out, because then your dogs could get hurt.
They're my babies. I just told my sister that I said the other day, if being gay was a choice, fill in the blank. These guys. But we listened, you know what I mean?
Right.
And no one got hurt that night. It was just a bunch of kids that had snuck out.
And Donna, don't give me this Neighborhood Watch nonsense. We read the actual, you know, manual from Neighborhood Watch yesterday on the show, and it specifically says do not do anything over and over again. Call the authorities. You do not do anything. You don't intervene. You don't take any action. All you do is call the authorities, you know.
In our neighborhood on Monday morning,
just because of this is almost like a textbook case of what happened, why the Neighborhood Watch manual is written like that.
That's right.
Because of doofuses like George Zimmerman, don't you think?
Yes, absolutely. And another thing, you know, like I said, people walk their dogs, and we have a lot of, you know, neighbors that have visiting parents, and we don't know them, and they walk down the street.
Yep.
And they're strangers, and if I was George Zimmerman, I'd be shooting all day.
Yeah.
You know, it's crazy. It's just absolutely crazy.
Yeah, and then why didn't that stuff, you know, get allowed in? The fact that, you know, he had a history of calling he called a bunch of times. It wasn't like just this time. And, it was always black kids. Mm-hmm. I think black kids are
like
doing something.
Lawyer.
Go ahead.
I worked for lawyers for 22 years. I would like some lawyer to call in and say why this was not tried as a hate crime. How it became a defense, a self-defense, I don't get it. I don't get it. I don't get it.
Yeah.
It's
Florida. Yeah.
There's
Florida. WTF in Florida. Well, that was the other thing, Jim, is, you know, I think what we were saying is that it ended up being too garbled, but, I mean, there were a lot of people that said, he said effing coons on the first, and then it, you know, I don't know whether they couldn't decipher it for sure, but, I mean, I just... Come on.
Well, he said it under his breath over the phone, so it was a little hard.
Right, yeah. Right. 29 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Hi, I'm
Stephanie Miller.
I may just be a small town FBI agent / single mother, but I'm still tough. And sexy.
Right. It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 34 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number. Toll free from anywhere. By the way, can I just say, I'm starting to get irritated even reading news stories about the Zimmerman verdict.
Oh.
Because just this much, Jim, blah, blah, blah. Zimmerman was a neighbor who watched volunteer who began following Martin, ended up in a physical confrontation. Even that part is his story. Like, Hal was, there's a lot of people that are putting forth scenarios. You have no idea what happened. He said, he made a good point, too. He said, do you think any wannabe cop didn't do the move the cops always do where they have their hand on their gun? He could have had his gun out. You don't know. We are only going off his story in terms of, a lot of people said that thing could have been kicked back, the thing on his nose. You don't know what happened.
Let's ask Trayvon. Oh, we can't.
Yeah, exactly. All right. 1-800-STEPH-12, the phone number. Let's go to William in Philadelphia. Hey, William.
Yes.
Yes, go ahead.
Yes, my question is, first of all, I'd like to say you guys are doing a great job.
Thank you.
And my question slash comment is basically is this. We've seen George Zimmerman do the walkthrough physically. Why did neither side do a voice reenactment, laying George Zimmerman down in the same conditions, recording from the same phone, calling 911, and see if we get a comparison? We're at this point of technology where we can do this.
Right. Right. Well, that's why, thank God, at least the judge disallowed me. They want to do this animation of what happened based on George Zimmerman's version so they can watch that over and over again. I'm like, what? That's the problem with this whole case is you're going literally off one person's word as to what happened. And it was way too late to gather evidence like they should have and witnesses like they should have. Mm-hmm. August in Florida, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hello, August.
Hi. My son was on the other side of the gun, like in the Trayvon Martin case. My son was older. He was 21. He shot a boy who was 17 during an altercation. They knew each other for many years. My son is mulatto. He's half white and half black, but he looks white. He has straight hair. He has white-looking features, and he looks white. The boy he shot was also mulatto.
I didn't know people still use the word mulatto. Mm-hmm. I thought that was not politically correct anymore, no?
I don't know. That's what I write down on, papers when he was a kid. Whatever. What do you say then?
I don't know. Anyway, so what happened?
Okay, let me just give you a little bit of background. My son has a rap sheet as long as my leg, because I'm short, but longer than my arm. Mm. And I've been going to court with him from the time he was 11 years old up until I stopped at this last incident. And he actually ended up pleading out to a 6-year sentence. But he shot this boy 4 times. Self-defense 4 times is not self-defense. Although they were going to use a stand your ground law if they went to court. The state of Florida also, my son was a 2-time loser. He already had 2 felonies against him. And the gun that he had, he actually went and bought legally with the waiting period and Tallahassee and had a license for.
He's got a rap sheet. He's a felon and he was able to buy a gun.
Yes.
Oh,
a legal gun with a license for it. So right there, the DA was faced with, he could have brought charges against them, get this, for selling him a gun.
Right.
You understand? Because he already was a felon as an adult.
Right. I got it. Okay. That's unfortunate. All right. That was a little bit of an odd story. But also, you tweet, speaking of guns, that was not what I got from that story. He's a felon. He was able to buy a gun. You tweeted something yesterday.
I tweeted last night at Radio Guy Chris. I tweeted, why isn't the NRA screaming that Trayvon Martin wasn't armed?
Yeah. Haven't heard a peep out of Wayne Lapierre.
Oh, yeah, to protect himself against a stalker like George Zimmerman.
I thought more guns was always the answer.
That's right.
Unless, of course.
Unless it's a black guy.
In case you haven't noticed.
In case you haven't noticed, he's black.
Yeah.
Right.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, interesting. This is the one gun crime they did not peep. They did not a peep out of them.
They've been completely silent.
Why couldn't we have had ourselves a good old-fashioned gunfight? Wouldn't that have been better? More guns?
Sure.
Everyone should have
a gun. Corral. Huh. Just have a bunch of people shooting at each other.
Huh.
That's always the solution for the NRA.
Not a peep, huh?
Not a peep.
Wayne LaPierre? No?
Nothing.
Nothing. Huh. All right. Kelly in Minnesota, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Kel.
Hi, Stephanie. Thank you. I'm calling exactly on the point you're raising right now, which is the gun issue. If George Zimmerman didn't have a permit to carry, conceal and carry a gun, chances are this doughy cop wannabe would not have chased down or stalked this Skittles iced tea toting black kid.
Right.
And in addition to repealing the Stand Your Ground law, which should be repealed, and even though I'm a criminal defense attorney, and even though this case was a straight-up self-defense case, the Stand Your Ground language was included in the jury instructions.
That's right.
And that had a huge role. Those jury instructions is what hinged this case hinged on, in my opinion.
Well, and Kelly, how is it that, you know... So clearly what they ruled on was that, oh, in that moment, he feared for his life, and it was... But, I mean, nothing that happened all the way up till there is relevant, that he's the one that caused this whole situation?
I think that what happened was once there was a confrontation, then the clock started there. That's what happened. Unfortunately, the fact that he... And the defense was successful in keeping out the first aggressor language from the jury instruction. There's a great, and you may have mentioned it, a great article from Huffington Post. I think the person's name is Alifair or something along those lines. And it was a great analysis of the jury instructions and how this case was likely lost on the jury instructions.
Yeah. Well, I mean, doesn't it seem like it, Kelly, just from what you've heard from the one juror saying, they were split half and half in terms of convicting him and you know, not convicting him. And then you're right. And then somehow when the jury instructions came back, it became all not guilty, right?
Well, right. It sounds like there was some question with regard to the manslaughter instruction, and once that was clarified, then they all came back with a conviction.
Was that the first mistake? Was he overcharged? Should they just have gone with manslaughter in the first place?
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. He was overcharged. And it's unfortunate because, again, if we didn't have the conceal and carry, there's no way he would have got out of that car and went after this kid. If we didn't have the Stand Your Ground law, there's no way that and for him to say he didn't know that existed, I think that stretches, you know, believability,
mm-hmm.
especially after his instructor testified that he, in fact, did.
Right.
But I do have to mention two other things that I've heard over the past couple days on your show. One is the jury of your peers thing.
Mm-hmm.
That's for the defendant, not for the victim.
Okay.
And the jury of your peers is basically, you know, back in the day when the Founding Fathers formed the country, I mean, you did know who was going to be on your jury. Now it's basically who lives in your legislative district or who lives in your county or mm-hmm. your district. And I can tell you that working in Minneapolis, I'm a public defender, and I represent a lot of African-American clients who have all white juries. All the time.
Oh, I see.
And it's,
yeah.
It's changing, and they just have to prove that there was a cross section in the pool, Minnesota has been working to improve in that area, and in the past few years, I've had more diverse juries. But that is a problem.
Yeah, I mean, don't you think, Kelly? I mean, I think, you know, if nothing else, I feel like this has at least prompted a more honest discussion about race. And, you know, you cannot say that, you know, we're a post-racial country when stuff like this happens. We're just not, you know? Black parents have different conversations a lot of times, unfortunately, with their kids than white parents do.
Right, and I don't know if it was Chris or you who said earlier, why isn't Wayne LaPierre saying if mm-hmm. Trayvon had a gun, you know?
Yeah, everything would be great.
Happen.
Right.
But the bottom line is we need less guns and there would be less dead bodies.
Right. Yeah. I was just pointing out the hypocrisy of the NRA.
I mean, George Zimmerman is the perfect example of someone that shouldn't have a gun. You know.
Right, right.
Yeah.
He's a vigilante.
Yep, exactly. All right, honey, thank you. Oh, looky, who's on line
one? Who's the caller? Who's on line three?
Oh, three.
Why in Chicago is Art by Track
Team? Good morning, Art.
Good morning. How are you, Stephanie?
I'm good. How are you, Art?
Listen, Stayvon Martin, he had his day in court, okay? But there's a bigger disaster,
mm-hmm.
and in Chicago, it's really bad. Over the holidays, 4th of July, 76 people were
actually,
shot.
Actually, Trayvon didn't have his day in court because
yeah,
he was dead.
Okay.
He's dead.
No, we got a bigger problem here, and they should be...
Well, not you'd...
28%.
How do they have a bigger problem than being dead?
28%. No, no, I'm talking about the black community that they're uproaring. They should be uproaring for jobs. 28% black men between 20 and 30 unemployed. 28% unemployment rate. Mm-hmm. Total of the whole black population, it's 18 to 20%. Mm-hmm. Now, that's a disaster. That is the disgrace.
I'm glad you're such a civil rights warrior. What are you doing to help black unemployment?
Hey, I worked in those neighborhoods. I worked at Englewood. Mm-hmm. I worked in all those. I know what's going on in there.
And some of your best
friends
are black,
I'm a racist?
Right?
Because I tell the truth about the black. Mm-hmm. You think I'm a racist?
I didn't say you're a racist.
You did.
No, I did not.
No, she didn't.
I don't know what you said. Well, anyway, it's a disgrace. All these days. They're out of work, and they're looking for money. Why don't we find jobs for them?
So they tend to steal, is what your point is.
I'm sorry?
They tend to steal, is what you're saying, that your point is, because they don't have jobs.
They're not fighting about that. In Los Angeles today, 18 got arrested for stealing.
Yes.
What the heck?
Yes,
how does that help?
There were some teenage.
That only puts a
right. No, that's not right either. There was a bunch of teenage kids that were.
A worse mark on the people than just peacefully.
Right. No, you're right. That's not the right way to protest. Okay. He did not turn his big. I picture one of those big old timey radios.
Yeah.
And he did not turn down
with the big dial
because we could hear the jingle in the middle of him talking.
Yeah.
Today, President Roosevelt announced.
Okay.
And next up was the fireside chat.
Oh dear. Yes, those are the race riots that Fox was hoping for. There were some teenagers in Hollywood that were causing. So we'll talk about that when we get back. And no, that's not the right way to protest.
No.
However.
They were hoodlums. They weren't protesting.
I'm happy to hear about Art's concern for black unemployment. That's very touching. All right, 46 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
To be honest, I've never seen such dysfunction.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 50 minutes after the hour, 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number. Toll free from anywhere. Hillary Clinton yesterday commenting on the...
No mother, no father should ever have to fear for their child walking down a street in the United States of America.
Yeah. Oh, by the way, Rachel Gentile, did you see? She had some thoughts on Rush Limbaugh's use of the N-word.
Yeah. Yeah, I heard about that.
Which we played that clip yesterday. She responded to Rush Limbaugh's use of the N-word during appearance yesterday. She said, obviously, we bleeped it, but he used the word out loud, saying he was now able to utter it because Gentile had said...
Confused says no.
Had said it. Mm-hmm. He said that she said it was fine to do it, which she did not say.
No, she did not.
So I love this. Mark Lamont Hill played the clip for Gentile, who said she never heard of Limbaugh before.
Oh, that's...
Which is awesome. She said, when you say it out loud in person in front of people, that's disrespectful. It is racist for an adult. I think what her point is that, you know, sometimes teenage kids speak that way to each other. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I think we've gone over the rules, haven't we? Hill asked, does it matter whether the adult is black or white? She said, yes. When you heard Rush Limbaugh say it just then, did it feel racist to you? Well, yes. but I can't judge him. Yes, you can. Actually,
sure.
Yes, you can.
Yes.
Yes.
We judge him all the time.
Yeah, he's a racist douche. All right. Let's go to Linda in Florida. You're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Linda.
Yes.
Hello. Go ahead.
Oh, hello.
Hello.
Hello. I am calling from Florida to give you a heads up on the next Trayvon Martin case.
Oh, boy.
It's going to trial in September in Jacksonville. A 17-year-old named Jordan Davis was shot by a middle-aged white man named Michael Dunn. Jordan was black, and the shooter pulled into a convenience store and took offense to a car of black kids playing their music too loud in the pulled into the same place. and he took out his gun and started firing at the car and killed one of the young boys that was in the car. And then he left the scene and went back to his hotel and ate pizza. And when the police came to get him the next day, he said he feared for his life, and the young black kids had threatened him with a gun when he had insisted they turn down the music in their vehicle. Mm.
Yeah, so he had no choice but to fire randomly into a car.
Exactly. That's what he did, and the investigation proved that the kids in the car were unarmed. And so...
Wow.
Trayvon Martin is happening again in Florida.
Well, I mean, and you can't, everybody was talking about this case, but you can't say there's not a double standard. You saw this woman that's in jail, black woman, for firing into the ceiling because her ex-husband, who had previously, beaten her many times, was there threatening her. She fires, to scare him off, and she's in prison for, 20 years or something like that? Frank in North Dakota, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Frank.
Hi. How you doing?
Good. Go ahead.
Hey, you know what? Zimmerman could have avoided this whole thing if he would have announced himself, and said, hey, I'm Neighborhood Watch, with a smile, instead of profiling this kid and track him down and then shooting him.
Well, again, exactly, Frank. That's the other, rule that they would always say in Neighborhood Watch, identify yourself. If you've got to see a guy with a gun that does not identify himself, is not obviously a policeman.
Racist douche with a gun.
Yeah. Hi.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Right. Stop or I'll shoot and get away with it. Let's go to George in Texas. Hi, George. Welcome. Hey, George.
Hello.
Hi. Go ahead.
Yeah. Wow. I've been long. Am I on with Stephanie?
Yes.
Yes, you are.
Yes.
Oh, great. I've been waiting online for a while.
Okay.
Live in Texas, originally from Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. But, I've been in all the MSNBC shows and your talks and everything. I don't hear anybody questioning how the father, being the judge in Sanford, which had a record as being one of the most racist cities in Texas, in Florida there for a while, they had problems with, police. The old police chief, got run out. Why isn't anybody asking what kind of connection or how well the prosecutors knew?
Yeah, well, I mean, I've certainly heard that raised before. That's a good point. How did this police investigation go the way it went? It's just hard to believe.
Mm-hmm.
It's hard to believe that someone just went, is that your story? Okay,
right.
Well, good night.
That's fine.
Have a good night's sleep. I mean, unbelievable.
If you say so, okay.
Yeah, okay. Members of the Congressional Black Caucus are readying a flurry of bills in response to the Zimmerman verdict.
Yeah.
They're drafting proposals intended to rein in racial profiling, scrap Stand Your Ground laws, and promote better training for the nation's Neighborhood Watch volunteers. Representative John Lewis, obviously a civil rights icon, said the decision seems to justify the stalking and killing of innocent black boys and deny them any avenue of self-defense. Representative Marsha Fudge of Ohio decried the presumption of guilt so often associated with people of color. Representative Bobby Rush said, anyone who denies that racism isn't alive today, particularly in the so-called justice system, is exceedingly delusional. He said the verdict points to the reality. There are far too many walking America's streets wearing a hoodie, carrying snacks and a drink, which can result in a death sentence, particularly if they are young, black, and male. Leading the legislative charge, the patron saint of the Stephanie Miller Show, Representative John Conyers.
Yeah.
Right. Jesse Jackson yesterday.
Going home alone, no weapon, yet he is murdered. And then the victim of a murder is accused of provoking his murder. It's absurd.
James in Beaverton, Oregon. I said Beaver. Hi, James. Hello, James.
Hello.
Go ahead.
Yes.
Go ahead, James. Go ahead.
Oh, I can go now?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Oh, okay. Thank
what
you.
What is going on? Yes, go ahead.
Well, I'm kind of, I'm just frustrated with this thing, and it's really, it's out of whack here. I feel as though that the African-American rights has been taken away from them with this so-called Stand Your Ground law, and it's just mind-boggling to me, how that could happen. And, with this, guy that,
you know, chased this kid down and shot this kid.
I know. I do know. I do know. I know. You know?
You know?
I do. I know. I do.
I know. I you know.
All right.
Can I talk now?
Okay. All right. 58 minutes. All right. We're going to shake this off, everybody. Yeah. Run it off. Run it off. 58 minutes after the hour. Right back on the Stephanie Miller Show. It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 6 minutes after the hour. Marcos Melitzas of Daily Coast coming up at the bottom of the hour. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. He'll talk about Mitch McConnell getting his shell handed to him by Harry Reid.
Yeah.
Over the
filibuster.
That was
the awesome.
Oh. Okay. Ing awesome. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number, toll free from... Oh, stephaniemiller.com. You can email us all there. I got the most awesome love letter, speaking of ing awesome.
Okay.
Ever. From Tim, who is really, Jim, ready to go to the mat for me.
Mm-hmm.
Steph, since you never acknowledged my last love letter, you know, the one I sent after you returned from your Maui trip and I dreamed that I was your bicycle seat.
Okay.
Maybe that one was a little too explicit. Anyway, I decided to approach our relationship from a different angle. I've decided to switch sides, you know, surgically. If you remember, I'm male, 64, and massively overweight. Here is my plan. First, I will lose about 200 pounds. Then I will get modest yet attractive breast implants. All this time, I will be receiving an estrogen regimen. Then, of course, I will need some extensive dental work. And by the way, I hope you don't look down your nose at tasteful wigs. Then comes some fairly massive plastic surgery. They say that they can take all of the stretched and loose skin and pull it around to my back and lace it up like a football. It won't look too bad if you never see me from behind. Then, of course, they will do the sex change. I was ambivalent about this at first since I'm rather fond of this part of my body, but then I thought, what the heck? I haven't seen it in years. Out of sight, out of mind, if you know what I'm saying. Okay, Steph, if I do all this, do I have a chance? Hopefully yours, Tim.
Computer says yes.
You know, Tim,
I'm still...
that tugged at my heartstrings in an odd way. You're willing to do all that.
To win your love.
Right?
To be your bicycle seat.
Right? How many people would go to that extent for you? Tim, that is very... I'm tearing up a little bit. Who doesn't love a tasteful wig? Okay. All right, then.
Tasteful bull moose person.
Oh, dear.
See what I did there?
Yeah,
wig.
I get it. See? I get it. All right.
Party.
You know,
no
we
longer.
Just, right. We just played a Hillary Clinton clip, and I do have one dream that still remains, and that is that Sarah Palin will get in the race, and we'll get to see Hillary debate Sarah Palin.
Oh, God.
Right. And we can hear more on her take on history.
So much fun.
Right.
The story of America. By the time the pilgrims came over on the Mayflower and invented moving and storage, everyone knew that America would be special. But then the king exfoliated tyranny and everyone's tea was texied and Sam Adams saw an opportunity to sell beer and told Paul Revere and the Raiders to tell everyone the British were coming. But Jiminy Crockett and David Bowie fought bravely and defended the Alamo against Hertz and Avis. Now our freedoms are threatened by the tyranny of people who think they're better than you just because they can spell correctly and don't use all caps. They're everywhere and hold little regard for those of us rugged individuals who aren't fettered by barbed wire fences or the full length of their terms. America is truly a land of opportunity. And with your help, we can make sure our children have the same rights to obesity, rabid ignorance, semi-automatic rifles, and mediocre reality TV that we have. God bless everyone.
Oh, thank you. Thanks for that, Sarah. Wow. All right. We've been talking about, obviously, the Zimmerman verdict in the aftermath. The president's carny yesterday.
Look at the laws on their books and evaluate them against the standard, which is, are these laws improving or making worse the situation with regards to gun violence?
Let me guess. Did Fox go 24/7 with race riots in Hollywood yesterday? Okay.
Shouldn't we have a national standard for important laws like that?
Yeah, one would think. By the way, may I say that reaction like this is not helpful, but again, you know, they're going to make this bigger than it is. It was a bunch of teenagers, mm-hmm. with, you know. LAPD combing through cell phones and security footage yesterday to try to identify dozens of young people who rampaged through Hollywood the night before, knocking down poles, stealing their cell phones, and grabbing souvenir trinkets from mm-hmm. Shops.
That was kind of near my old neighborhood.
Yeah.
That, yeah, a little too close for comfort.
Calls reporting as many as 40 marauding or marauding.
Marauding.
Right. Young people began coming in around 8:30 from stores around the Hollywood and Vine.
Mm-hmm.
The Utes, possibly organized through social media, ran through the streets, stole T-shirts and other goods, including food, from businesses mainly on Hollywood Boulevard. So I think what they're saying so far is they don't know if this was connected to the Zimmerman verdict or a reaction. Well,
I don't think it was a direct reaction, but I think they had a general sense of lawlessness because of it and thought that they could go out and
But I think it was because most of the cops were down at the other protest, which was mostly peaceful.
In Leimert Park, yeah.
Right. Mm. They were saying police had redeployed numerous officers, including those from the Hollywood area, to the city's Crenshaw district mm-hmm. after violence broke out the previous night during protest of the Zimmerman acquittal. Right. The police captain said it was believed the youths took advantage of that and decided this would be a good night to come up to Hollywood and act a little crazy. He said really there was no big financial gain on this thing. It was a bunch of misguided children going out and committing wrong. And so, again, I don't know if it was a direct reaction to that or just them going, oh, all the cops are down there. Let's go, you know.
Yeah.
The people in the Crenshaw district earlier, about 150 people split off from a peaceful protest over Zimmerman's acquittal and ran through the streets, jumped on cars, punched bystanders. It was unclear whether the Hollywood kids were inspired by that violence or anger at the jury verdict. So they're still, you know, trying to figure that out.
Yep.
But that's all you'll see on Fox, just in case you're wondering.
There were some big protests up in Oakland where some property got damaged as well.
Right. And again, not a helpful way to protest.
No, not at all.
You know. Let's.
So do you need a lasso if you're marauding?
Who knows? It's different than marauding, though, that's for sure.
Oh, hell yeah, it is.
Hell to the yeah. Holly in Silver Springs, Maryland. Hey, Holly, welcome. Hi.
Shooting, I saw a video of Zimmerman being brought into the police station,
right.
And there wasn't a mark on him, and there was no blood or anything.
Interesting.
And I wondered what had happened to it. And so finally, I just tracked it down recently. And the article attached to the video said that Trayvon Martin's mother thought that this was going to be the smoking gun. And I don't know why it wasn't used. And it seems like there's a major cover-up going on to me.
Yeah, I think there's just a lot of details that seem really fishy about this whole thing.
And yeah, there were no cuts on him when he walked into the police station, and then suddenly there are these pictures of cuts all over his head and face.
Yeah. And I why wouldn't that story be just as believable that they could have been self-inflicted when he realized, I better come up with a stand your ground defense here.
No blood in his clothing either. If you get a broken nose, it's going to bleed like crazy.
Yeah. And I as many times as I've asked this question, no one has been able to answer what. How is this possible when Trayvon Martin had none of Zimmerman's blood or DNA on him?
Right.
How could he have been beaten almost to death and that's why he had to defend himself? How is that possible?
No DNA.
It's a question for the ages.
Thank you. That's what I mean. Every time I say it, it just goes off into the...
Well, I mean, just, you know, not, the trial's over.
Well, it's not going to stop me.
I know.
Let's go to Steve in Pennsylvania. Hi, Steve.
Hi, Steph.
Hi.
Yeah, I was just... How you doing?
Good,
I was just calling about, I read today Jimmy Carter, former President Jimmy Carter, chimed in on the Trayvon Martin case, stating that the jury made the right decision. Now, I appreciate that a former president chimes in on this and feels like he should, you know, state what he thinks. But I think it's time to put Grampy in the corner because I don't think he kept up with the facts like most people did.
Yeah. Well, I mean, look, I don't think the prosecution was great, and I think as this lawyer that just called said to us, they probably did overcharge for what they were able to prove. They should have gone with manslaughter in the first place. There's a lot of things I think they should have done differently in the prosecution, but, I still think it's significant that the jury was split, including one person who wanted second-degree murder,
right.
You know? So, Marcia in New York, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Marcia.
Hello, Stephanie.
Hello.
How are you?
Good. Go ahead.
Great. Well, we're still on the Zimmerman case, so I'll make my opinion about that. First, it's very sad what happened to Trey. I have visited Florida, and I know that it's a very racist place. I'm pale with black hair, and they just immediately judge you. And it's a vicious cycle of racism, and hopefully it gets better one day, but not anytime soon. And last, I would also like to say that I want to portray my desire for you, and I would like to have sex with you.
Oh, awesome. Oh, awesome. Thank you, Marcia, for throwing that in at the end. What is going on the phones this week? People are just... Charlie's making me crazy.
She wants to be your bicycle
seat. Get yourself
some. Get yourself some, Steph.
People are just really reacting to this verdict and all sorts of...
Two people want to be your bicycle seat.
Wow. I have to drop the guy with the wig and the sex change.
That sounds like a little too much work.
It's a lot to give up.
This girl sounded like
she's ready to go.
Yeah, she's good to go. Right. Okay.
I would jump on it.
Right, like a hot pocket.
Like a bicycle seat.
Right. Right. Okay. You know, somebody was talking about, so John Roberts says that racism is all over with. That's why we don't need the voting rights law. Yeah.
Right.
This verdict really proved that. Meanwhile, John Lewis, civil rights icon John Lewis, said he wanted to cry after the Supreme Court struck down a key provision. He took a wooden crate to the head, Jim, for people's right to vote. He said, the day of the Supreme Court decision broke my heart. It made me want to cry. I felt like saying, come walk in the shoes of people who tried to register, tried to vote, but did not live to see the passage of the Voting Rights Act. Mm-hmm. He said, in a democracy such as ours, the vote is precious. It is almost sacred. It is the most powerful nonviolent tool we have. Those who sacrificed everything, their blood and their lives, and generations yet unborn are all hoping and praying that Congress will rise to the challenge and get it done again. By the way, Hal had a great idea yesterday, which blew up the Twitterverse about vote for Trayvon, since, Trayvon has no vote anymore.
Yep.
There you go.
Yep, that was a trending hashtag.
Thank you, as the kids say. All right.
You have no idea what
I don't know about it. Hashtag God's Country. Liz Cheney's Wyoming. But we'll talk about that and much more as we continue. 17 minutes after the hour, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Call the political party line now. 1-800-STEP-12.
Stephanie Miller.
Yes, it is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 22 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number toll free from anywhere. Oh, Jay Carney's a day late. Jackie Schechner broke this news yesterday on the show.
This is despite the fact that New York's health care costs are much higher than the national average.
Yeah, they have by 50% healthcare costs looks like they're going to drop in New York because of the Affordable Care.
Directly because of.
Representative Joseph Crowley of New York.
This is a tangible success and proof that all the doom and gloom of my colleagues on the other side is not likely to come to pass.
Death panels! Death panels! Communism!
Nanny boo-boo. Okay. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number. Toll free from anywhere. Let's go to Annette in Annette in Chicago. Hello, Annette.
Good morning. I was calling. Guns can't shoot themselves. It's the crazy people that get the guns. And the people who hate do not need guns. That's if you're black or white. If you hate, you do not need a gun. Thank you.
Okay. Oh, thank you. She'll take no further questions.
Okay, then. Thank you.
Okay, let's go to RD in Texas. Hi, RD, welcome.
Hi, Stephanie.
Hi.
I'm calling from Texas. Mm-hmm. I wanted to let y'all know that my whole life, my father was a member of the NRA, and my husband is too. And the NRA teaches you to shoot to kill, not maim, not stop, not protect yourself, but shoot to kill.
Mm-hmm.
And I think George Zimmerman... totally deserved the murder, too, at least. He could have moved the gun over a few inches and shot him in the left shoulder.
Yeah. No, I said that as well. Why couldn't he have done that? Why
he shot him through the heart with a hollow point bullet.
Yeah.
Which, caused the heart just explodes, basically.
Yeah, exactly. Tisa in Florida, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hello.
Hello.
Hi, Tisa. Go ahead.
Hi, this is Tisa calling from Florida. Mm-hmm. I just want to say that I just find it so ironic. I don't know if you saw the news in Florida. Rick Scott is not in his office now that they've been doing a sit-in in his office, in the governor's office. He's got to go to New York. He's got to go to Tampa. All of a sudden, he can't be available in Florida. And I just want to say one more thing, Stephanie. Mm. There's a lot of little Sanfords in Florida.
Oh,
yeah,
sure.
Yeah, well, that's the problem. I mean, that's the, you know, somebody already mentioned a case that's like the next Trayvon case in Florida already. Yep. Leslie in Asheville, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Leslie.
Hi, Stephanie.
Hi,
How are you?
Good. Go ahead.
Well, you know, I want to tell you that I live in North Carolina, which is almost as bad as living in Florida now. And I was getting groceries yesterday, and this woman stalked over to my car, and she was a well-dressed older woman, and she said to me, "You are dumb as crap." And I said, "Excuse me," and she pointed at a bumper sticker that says "Health Care for All." Now, my son died 5 years ago because he couldn't get care. Mm. So that kind of colors one's opinion,
sure.
I think. And I told her that. And she said, "Well, chatter on, Miss Dumbass Crap." And
wow.
She went
nice.
And stood by her car, which had a big bumper sticker that says, "I wear lipstick and I have a gun."
Ah.
Wow.
Awesome.
So I had to go by her car to put my cart into the corral, and she looked scared as I walked towards her and just jumped in the car. It occurred to me that even though she started the altercation in a stand your ground state like Florida, and thanks to the court decision letting Zimmerman off the hook, she could have shot me and gotten away with it.
Yeah, yeah.
Because she felt threatened because I was walking towards her car.
And let's see, what has happened in this country in terms of, you know, just human beings? I mean, how have we gotten this, like, partisan that you can tell someone your son died, and that's
and
their response as a human being?
Yeah.
Oh, you
to
should,
not just go,
I mean,
oh, I'm sorry, maybe
Ronnie came to visit Asheville during the campaign, and I stood outside the where he was speaking with a picture of my son and, you know, his birth and death dates, and said, "The emergency room is not enough." And I had one woman walk by and look at it, and I said, "Do you have children?" And she said, "Yes, but I take care of mine."
Oh my God.
Good God.
And, I had another woman told me I should read my Bible. Obviously, he wouldn't have died if I read my Bible.
Oh, right, of course.
Oh, boy.
And when I said, "Well, actually, I do," she called me a liar and screamed. That was caught on videotape. The TV station ran her screaming that night.
Wow.
But, you know.
All right, Leslie, maybe you're right. Maybe we're a nation of jerks. And
Well, I think it comes from a place of fear.
Yeah.
You know, you can do everything right and still lose your child. How can that be?
Yeah. Yeah, I know.
And I think that's what it comes from.
Right.
They're doing everything right, or so they think, so everything's going to be all right for them. Now, how could I have done everything right and still had my son die?
Yeah.
I must have done something
it's
wrong.
Obviously your fault
in some
way. Yeah.
Yeah, that is horrible. I'm so sorry about that, Leslie, sorry for your loss.
That's why they're atheists.
Well, thanks, Steph. I love you guys.
I love you,
too. And, you know, my son and his two best friends were known as the Mooks.
All right. Thank you, honey. Appreciate it. Oy vey. That is breathtaking.
Yeah. You know, if you read your Bible, your son would still be alive. So it's obviously your fault because you're doing something evil.
Right.
That's, yeah.
Mm. Okay. Let's go to Allison in Atlanta. You're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hey, Allison.
Hey, listen. Give me a chance to tell you this.
All right.
This is something fresh here. You know, on fake faux news, Fox News, Sean Hannity and his group, since the Zimmerman case was over, sit there with this pretend attitude, saying that, you know, why don't the politicians and the black leaders in NAACP scream about black on black crime? You know, as if it has never been looked into, which is a lie. We've been complaining about this. About guns control and passing laws of selling of weaponry in urban cities, even during the Sandy Hook tragedy, with those kids, with 26 kids shot to death, and it really made me so angry because they used that as a talking point argument since the Zimmerman trial to say that that's the only that why are black leaders complaining about that?
Right,
And
I love their fake empathy, like they're really that's really their main concern. Is black on black crime. Okay, 29 minutes after the hour, Marcos Melitzos from Daily Coast next on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
Oh, you're a dirty flirt.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. 34 minutes after the hour, 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number. Marcos Melitzos of Daily Coast joins us now, one of our very personal favorites. Hey, Marcos, good morning.
Good morning.
I loved your piece about how Mitch McConnell got his turtle shell handed to him by Harry Reid. Tell us the story.
It's about time. I mean, Mitch McConnell is a bully. He has certainly run the Senate in a way that he just assumes Democrats are going to roll over, right? So he's in a minority, acts like he's in a majority. And to be fair to him, Democrats are really, really good at caving in the Senate. So he has every reason to believe that right. that they're going to do what he wants them to do. So suddenly they've been obstructing these Democratic nominees for years. He has no intention whatsoever of confirming Cordray to the Consumer Finance Protection Board. It's just business as usual. And so Democrats are finally fed up. They're finally decided they're gonna change the rules to eliminate the filibuster for administration nominations. So all's good. We got the votes. We've been working for this for 3 years. You know, those of us who have been trying to get the filibuster reform. It's a three-year process. We got the votes. So, but Republicans don't quite really believe it's going to happen. Until at the very last minute where John McCain breaks away from the Republicans. He does a little maverick shtick. For once, it actually benefits us.
Yeah.
He brings a bunch of people aboard, and it's going to happen. So Mitch McConnell walks into Reid's office thinking business as usual. So he says he thinks he's gonna cut a deal. As soon as he walks in, Harry Reid says, "I know why you're here. I've got the vote." So, bam.
Hmm.
McConnell still doesn't believe it, right? So he's like, well, I'll tell you what. You know, I'll give you votes on these guys if you promise that we won't change the rules. Basically saying, like, we'll give you these six votes that we've been obstructing for 2 years, but then tomorrow we're going to start obstructing all over again.
Right, right.
Which is not a deal. It's rewarding his obstruction.
Right. I mean, but so essentially you're saying what happened is Reid went around McConnell, right, and made a deal with Schumer McCain went around McConnell, right, and made a deal with Schumer and Reid.
Exactly. So what's absolutely fantastic about this all is that, I mean, first of all, Harry Reid stuck to his guns. I mean,
right.
Let's celebrate that when it happens.
Yeah. Right.
So that was kind of exciting because we were all convinced they were going to cave. I mean, none of us, at least at Daily Headquarters, thought this was ever going to happen. We were so cynical about this whole situation. But what ended up happening is the filibuster is essentially dead because the Republicans have now admitted that it can be changed by simple majority votes. It's still in the books, obviously, and it's still going to be pulled off for because Republicans are Republicans. But now Democrats have the precedent where if they stick together and they have 51 votes, they can actually bust through Republican obstruction. I mean, this is pretty dramatic. I mean, the filibuster is essentially over right now. So then they had this meeting of Republicans. They all get together, and Mitch McConnell is furious. And he comes up, you know, this is all reported yesterday in a roll call, where Mitch McConnell is saying that he could have cut a better deal. Right? I mean, of course, he could not have cut a better deal. We were done. So you have Bob Corker of Tennessee basically yell out, this is on the air, so I can't
believe
it's set.
Yeah.
Right.
Basically, so you have the Republican caucus eating itself from the inside. They're all like, yelling at each other, soaring at each other. This is true Republicans in disarray. This is our side that has to suffer this all the time, right? And now we're seeing them fall apart from the inside.
So,
I tell you, it's pretty satisfying.
As you quote somebody, McConnell has out now essentially been cut out of the process on nominees, and you say the best part, Reid still has the votes for a limited repeal of the filibuster, leverage that will only increase in October when New Jersey gets its Democratic senator back. Correct?
Yeah, exactly. So the filibuster is essentially over. And what's amazing is that the original nuclear option that Reid was talking about was really limited only to administration nominations, right? These Republicans could still filibuster for judges. They could still filibuster on legislation. What this deal has done effectively has basically said the filibuster's dead on all cases, right? If Democrats stick together and if they want to bust through obstruction with 50, you know, with 50 votes plus one, they can do it. And now what you're going to see if Republicans or Democrats doing is instead of negotiating with Mitch McConnell, they're going to be negotiating with John McCain, who is, at least in this situation, a much more honest broker on the issue.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, interesting stuff. Marcos, before you go, I got to get your take on Liz Cheney in Wyoming. Is this cool? Somebody wrote, Salon wrote a piece, the Republican Party needs to hit rock bottom. Vicious, cynical, and talented. Liz Cheney is perfect. I mean, what do you think? I mean, is she going to, is she have a chance of winning this primary? It seems like the Republican establishment is lining up behind Enzi, right?
There's always a chance. I mean, you're not quite sure what her path to victory is, but the establishment is definitely lining up behind Enzi. But the other thing about this is Wyoming, and it's hard to understand this unless you live in Wyoming or a state like Montana, is that there's like 17 people that live in the entire state. They all know each other.
Right.
Right. I mean, literally, when I go to Montana, I haven't been to Wyoming, but I go to Montana, people walk in, I have a group of people, we walk to a cafe in Butte or a cafe in Whitefish. They all know each other. I mean, the state is small enough where everybody knows each other. So there, the sense that this person who's lived in New York for decades just shows up because her dad happened to live in Wyoming, and she's got the Cheney name, and she's going to basically, what she's done is disrespected Enzi. I mean, I don't think this stuff plays very well. I don't know where her path to victory is, but she's calling him senile. He's calling her a carpetbagger. I mean, the entertainment value of this is going to be absolutely fantastic.
That's awesome. Sit back, get some popcorn. All right, Marcos, great stuff as always. Thanks for taking time for us this morning.
All right, have a great day.
All right, you too. There he goes. Here's the demon seed now, Liz Cheney, who has announced that she is going to run for the Senate in Wyoming.
We can no longer afford simply to go along to get along. We can't continue business as usual in Washington.
She called him confused.
Oh, I see.
Yeah.
Yeah, as Salon writes, I guess his only crime is he's not a big enough hole. He's a very, very conservative guy, but...
Yeah. They don't suffer a-holes well in Wyoming.
No. John Lovett writes in Salon, she's among the most vicious, cynical, and talented operatives in American public life. She helped lead the appalling campaign against the so-called Ground Zero Mosque.
Mm-hmm.
Her political action committee baselessly accused several Justice Department lawyers of Al-Qaeda sympathies. Time and again, she has rooted her political tacks not in policy differences, but an easy, slimy willingness to suggest President Obama and his administration are disloyal to this country. Whose side are they on, she asks. And yikes, her foreign policy. It's just this breathless, nervous, aimless belligerence. For example, of modest spending cuts at the Pentagon, mostly because the wars are ending in Iraq and Afghanistan.
Right.
She said, what President Obama is doing is something that America's enemies, the Taliban, Al-Qaeda, have been unable to do, which is decimate the fighting capability of this nation.
Whatever.
Oh, and Salon points out, by the way, she's also one of those fantastic people who likes to deny the existence of climate change whenever it snows.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
The toxic brew of fervor and contempt that Liz Cheney offers is at the core of what plagues the Republican Party today. It seems to me indisputable the Republican Party is heading toward a reckoning. This reckoning will take place when smart, reasonable, passionate, decent conservatives take their movement back from those like Liz Cheney, who have encouraged the kind of radicalization that has made governing nearly impossible. Who think compromise is akin to communism, as Alan Simpson recently said.
Alan Simpson, also from Wyoming.
Right.
Yes.
Perhaps the Republican Party needs to hit rock bottom. Liz Cheney is the last shot of tequila before the conservative movement blacks out, wakes up, and heads to a meeting. One can only hope. Liz Cheney for Senate.
Aww.
Indeed.
I always liked Alan Simpson. Simpson has a great sense of humor.
Yeah.
Liz Cheney again.
Instead of cutting deals with the president's liberal allies, we should be opposing them every step of the way.
Right.
Oppose everything.
Yes. Right. More obstructionism. That's
yes
what's missing.
Yes on no.
That's,
no on yes.
That's what's missing.
Can you think of anyone with less collegiality than Liz Cheney?
Ugh. My friend said she's as nasty as her daddy.
Yeah.
Senator John Barrasso, the other Republican senator from Wyoming.
Mike Enzi has a strong conservative record of fighting for the people of Wyoming, and that's why I support him.
did not seem like people were taking a liking to the demon seed thus far in Wyoming. Representative Cynthia Loomis of the other Republican Wyoming.
Mike Enzi has really earned his spurs in Wyoming, not to mention putting in 18 solid years in the U.S. Senate. So I'm a solid supporter and friend of his.
Oh, my. A bit of a bitch slapping for the demon seed thus far. All right, let's go to Ann in Atlanta. You're on the Stephanie Miller Show on the Trayvon case. Hello, Ann. Ann? Going once, hello. Going twice. Back to Pamela in Texas. Hey, Pam.
Hey, Stephanie, how are you?
Good, go ahead.
And the Mooks?
Yes.
A couple of things and then one really important thing.
Okay.
The first one was when people like Limbaugh or any white says, well, we can say the N-word because black people say it.
Right.
I wish someone would ask them, why would someone say it? So are you saying you want to emulate blacks now?
Right.
The other thing is the judge who excluded those instructions that probably would have or could have convicted him.
Right.
She's a judge. His dad was a judge. Did anybody think about that? You know, she tried to be all tough on the defense when the jury never saw it. But the last thing is this is really important, and it's brilliant. I got to tell Hal with his cute little self. Vote for Trayvon. I was thinking the same thing, but this is a two for one. You know, the Supreme Court action and now the Trayvon Martin verdict.
Yeah.
About why don't we please start talking about that more? Vote for Trayvon. That's something that I think will mobilize people, and it's something that's effective because the politicians are the ones who make the laws. We got to vote them out. So you got to get that out more.
Yep.
That was brilliant. I was thinking the same thing, trying to get people to vote, but I didn't come up with that phrase. But I think
wouldn't that be great to see a zillion people in hoodies coming in at the voting
booths?
People
will do it. Stephanie, people love you. You know how even the other side listens to you all the time because you're so intelligent and funny, but they listen even though they hate Mary, Road Flag. They're all tuning in.
Yeah, that's
so guess what? You reach a lot of people, even the ones who don't agree. So
thank
sweetie.
You, Pamela.
Please,
I thank you so much. I bet you Road Flag Mary will be at the voting booth in Chicago in May. You know what?
Art in Chicago called in today.
I hate Stephanie, but she says to vote for Trayvon. Okay.
You can change Art in Chicago's mind.
I think I could, by cracky. 45 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Call the political party line now. 1-800-STEP-12. Stephanie Miller.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 50 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number. Toll free from anywhere. All right. Hey, let's break for some good news.
Okay.
Great Britain has legalized gay marriage. This is a good point this article makes. The French like to make fun of the British joking about their repressed ways in matters of the heart, but when it came to the time to debate same-sex marriage, it was France that betrayed a deep conservative streak. Mon Dieu, what's going on over there?
Mon Dieu.
Right.
Mon
Dieu. And sometimes violent protests while the British showed themselves to be modern and tolerant. With little fanfare or controversy, Britain announced yesterday Queen Elizabeth, hardly a social radical, a little bit of a trollop in our opinion, had signed into law a bill legalizing same-sex marriage in England and Wales. France has also legalized same-sex marriage, but only after a series of gigantic protests.
That was a huge fight that they had to do. England did it like
that. Was Les
like
Miserables.
That.
Exactly.
Les
All
Miserables.
Right. Right. We have some thoughts from the Queen on this.
Of course we are in favor of gay marriage. We are a nation in which grown men dress in women's clothing for a laugh. Barristers dress in robes and wigs, and Scots guards march about in plaid skirts whilst manipulating and blowing into stiff rods attached to bags which remind one of nothing so much as a large haggis-stained scrotum. Also, we have Eddie Izzard. Enough said. And yes, we are amused.
Thank you, Your Highness.
Although, even though Scotland is a part of Great Britain, this doesn't apply to Scotland. They have their own parliament, and so they need to do it on their own.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah.
What is up with France? I mean, really, J'accuse, what is happening over there? When the law was drafted in France, the ideas of gays marrying turned from the concept to imminent reality. Traditionalists spoke up, and loudly protests grew bigger and spread wider. Most of those are the barricades. I just like to say barricades because it reminds me of Les Miserables. Les Miserables Homophobes.
Sure.
Were families, children with grandparents, Russell Crowe singing badly? No, not him. Members of France's minority practice.
He wasn't that bad.
No.
Why does everybody... He wasn't that bad.
He may have been auto-tuned. No, you hit the notes.
Yes.
Polls do show that the majority of French people think gay marriage is fine. Just loud, miserable people at the barricades waving red
flags. Ceci n'est pas une pipe.
Exactly. My point. What? Okay.
You have that picture on your wall. The Magritte painting. Ceci,
oh, right. Yes,
pipe.
Right.
The pipe.
Yes, I do have that.
Yes, that's what he was saying.
Which, yeah, but...
and lots of other ladies drinking. That's most of my art is. Okay. Carla in Chicago. Hi, Carla.
Hi, how are you?
Good, go ahead.
Okay, so I have a couple things that I wanted to say. First being in regards to Trayvon Kate. When Zimmerman was took in for questioning, there was a black plastic bag that he had. Well, his buddies from the Sanford Police Department took the bag from him and put it in the trunk of the police car. I'm interested to know what was in that bag and did any of it belong to Trayvon? Because they had a couple of days to get rid of evidence.
Huh.
Right.
Also, his buddies at the Sanford Police Department somehow forgot that he said he saw Trayvon emptying garbage in the neighborhood before. Hmm. I wonder, why did that disappear? And the prosecutor, Mr. Monopoly, who didn't make sure any of this made it?
Right.
I want to know, why can't he be brought up on charges? Because it seemed like they were all in cahoots together. If I know these things and I'm sitting at home just looking at TV and searching the internet, how could the prosecutor not know? And I'll call him Mr. Monopoly because that's who he looks like.
Yes.
But how could he not know? And I know. I'm just an average young lady who knows that Trayvon had injustice done to him. But yet none of this stuff was brought out.
Hmm. Yeah.
I want to know how much did Sanford Police help Mr. Zimmerman with his story, because he changed it four or five times.
Yeah, he did. Yeah. He did change it four or five times. That's why I'm dying to see him testify.
Yeah.
There's a civil suit. Christine in Cleveland, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Christine.
Good morning, y'all.
Good morning. Go ahead.
Quick story. I have a reach for food story that can beat Carl Frisch.
Okay.
My reach for food story is I reached for a packet of sugar in my favorite Chinese restaurant and went into labor.
Oh.
Oh.
Wow.
Ow.
So
okay.
I think that beats his story.
Yes, Carl dislocated his knee sitting down to dinner at a restaurant.
Well, yeah, it was a reaching for food story.
Right.
But
yeah.
Okay. Yeah, and then it was the ambulance and all the people coming out of the kitchen. It was very bizarre.
Oh, yikes.
And the water broke and everything.
Now, that's a little embarrassing.
Yikes.
That's really embarrassing. But anyways, the president's carny in his
daily
daily caller intern ask him a question about wanting to know if the president was going to do anything about security for the Zimmerman family.
Yeah, well,
and
Secret
besides,
Service protection.
Carney's eyes rolling back in his head and little snark in there for Mr. Carney, but the dude's name was Finger, so they sent a finger over to the Carney at the press conference yesterday.
Oh, all right. Okay. I get it. That was a little... joke about the
Carney. No. Okay, yes. There was an intern from the Daily Caller whose last name was Finger, who asked he was a 16-year-old kid who asked the question of Carney yesterday.
I see. Okay.
Yes.
What kind of
security was the Obama administration providing for the Zimmermans, is what he asked.
I see. Yeah. Uh-huh. Get right on that. Emma in Rochester, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Emma.
Hey, what's up?
Not much. Go ahead.
Okay. I was watching TV yesterday, and a 71-year-old woman... was talking about how, she was accosted and this guy asked her, or not asked, but demanded her money. So she said, I had about $80 and I threw it on the ground. And she also had with her a wooden dowel that looked to be maybe a foot, 2 feet long. I don't know why. But anyway, she started beating this guy on the shoulder, on the back, and on the side. And she said, and the host said to her, you know, that's all you do. She says, you know, I didn't want to kill him because I didn't see a gun. So, you know, she just beat him. And then when he got up, she maced him. So I was sitting there thinking, here's a 71-year-old woman, has the knowledge not to kill somebody, because she didn't see a gun. And I just thought that was interesting.
Yeah, yeah. Well, there's a million and one questions about the whole Zimmerman story.
Yeah.
Yeah, why he had
Zimmerman's just a big weenie without a gun.
Yeah, exactly. Ruth in Colorado, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Ruth.
Oh, hi.
Hi.
First-time caller, long-time fan.
Thank you.
I had something to say about Trayvon. You know, last year when they first played the tape of what George Zimmerman said under his breath, he did not say punks.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
He said effing coons. He used that word, and I hate to use it, but that's what he said.
Wow.
And they bleeped that, and then they replaced it with another word for court. Now, is that tampering with evidence?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
Tell me that's not.
I know. I've heard a lot about that, and
I've only heard one other person bring it up on, like, Randy Rhodes, I think. But
right.
Yeah, it sticks in my mind.
Well, I mean, but there are also, Ruth, there are like zillions of other 911 calls, and it's always about suspicious black kids, you know? I mean, there's a pattern there that I just think they did not bring out at trial, and I don't know why. 58 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 6 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number. Toll free from anywhere. Well, this may be my oldest nominee for my future wife list.
Oh?
Yes.
Okay.
She's got to be one of mine. Gawker brings us the story. Little old lady denies robber cash, offers him Tootsie Rolls instead.
Not ribbon candy? Usually old ladies offer you ribbon candy.
I remember we had one of these little candy stores in my neighborhood, Lockport.
Yeah.
It was like one of these little old ladies. For the past 54 years, Marge Wolf, Margareta Marge, you can call her Marge.
Oh, okay, thanks.
And I don't know if she's large or not, but she owns a candy store.
Just tell them Large Marge sent you.
She's held her own against the big box store that has left her one of the last remaining mom-and-pop operators in her neck of Wisconsin. So when a knife-brandishing robber entered her grocery store with the intent to rob the 96-year-old of her hard-earned money, she immediately shut him down. I said, I'm not opening that cash register, and that's it. That's not to say he left empty-handed. She was kind enough to offer him as many Tootsie Rolls as he wanted out of a bin by the register. That is precious. Now, you can have some Tootsie Rolls.
And if you're good, you can have a sugar daddy. Or an Abba Zabba.
Some other old-timey candy.
Oh, boy. Oh, boy.
A squirrel nut zipper.
All right, all y'all's listening in St. Louis, stop barfing in the cabs, would you? Really?
Ooh.
Come on, people.
Oh.
The agency that oversees the St. Louis taxi industry appears to be getting sick of passengers vomiting in cabs.
Well,
at charging passengers cleanup fees.
In any place other than Chicago or New York, when you take a cab, most likely you are drunk.
You are smashed.
So
right, although in Chicago already charges a $50 vomit cleanup fee.
Okay.
In Austin, Texas, $100 is added to the trip fare.
If that's a party city.
If a passenger soils the taxi's interior with bodily fluids or solids.
Ugh.
Oh, did you?
Wow.
In the cab again? Come on.
I barfed in a limo in front of my date in college.
God.
That explains
a
lot.
Going to a formal.
That explains a lot.
Yeah. Wow.
She wasn't impressed. Neither was the limo
Imagine
driver.
Imagine how many people during Taste of Chicago have barfed.
Ugh.
Of sausage. Or
blowing
something.
Up chunks of Italian beef.
Have a taste of barf.
That is going to smell all the way to Schaumburg, I tell you what.
It's worse than a bag of Vipers, a bag of barf.
That's what I handed to the limo driver.
Oh, God.
What?
Here. What do you want me to do with this?
The limo driver was kind enough to give me a trash bag.
That's nice. Ugh.
I just think I'm going to buy it.
Oh, I already did. Oh. Wow. This is random. Almost as random as that last tweeter we read who said what? He would like to see Pink or Sandra Bernhardt. Hit Liz Cheney with a halibut?
Yeah. Slap Liz Cheney with a halibut.
Right. He thinks that would be neat. And he wanted to know he tweeted that completely sober.
Yeah. Mm.
Okay.
If Pink's doing it, it's kind of hot.
Right.
Sandra Bernhardt.
An unlucky woman in Louisiana won the lightning lottery yesterday when she was struck by a bolt while standing in a checkout line at a supermarket.
Wow.
She was not seriously injured, but wow. That is random. Who saw the cover of Rolling Stone?
It says
no. This is...
Well, you know, I mean, Time magazine had Hitler as Man
right.
of the Year once.
They've done journalism since their very beginning.
It looks like Tiger Beat. It's like
you're
this
right.
smoldery
you're
teenage...
Right. He looks like lead singer of The Doors.
He looks like, yeah, Jim Morrison.
Jim Morrison. Yeah. Exactly. And so I don't know if it's good to glamorize him
like
that.
It's like that New York Post jihadi. Thing.
Right.
Yeah.
But people are acting like Rolling Stone has never done journalism before. You know, they have P.J. Rourke writing for them.
They don't read it, obviously.
Exactly.
Well, the headline is, everyone hates the new Rolling Stone cover, glamorizing Zohar Tsarnaev. Right. CVS and Walgreens will not sell this issue. Their choice of cover photo has more than a few people baffled and upset. The layout, which is described as shocking and offensive, resembles any number of rock star images that have graced the magazine over the years. Many people feel the photo the editors chose make him look like a smoldering teen heartthrob, which it does, if you've seen it. Rather than the accused murderer and terrorist that he is, a few people pointed out what Jim just said, that they've featured villains in the past, like Charles Manson in 1970.
Mm-hmm.
The online reaction, though, with thousands of tweets and comments on the magazine's Facebook page, almost universally against the cover, some vowing never to buy Rolling Stone again.
Oh, that's...
Also the bomber, and then it's like, it seems sympathetic to him how a popular, promising student was failed by his family, fell into radical Islam, and became a monster. But I don't know, it just, I think it is. It's to me, yeah. It seems like it's...
Yeah, a friend of mine tweeted, what is Maroon 5 going to be on the cover of Jihad Weekly now?
Yeah, Tiger Beat Terrorist Syndrome, blah, blah, blah. Yeah, it's I agree. All right, let's go to Debbie in Florida on the Zimmerman verdict. Hello, Deb.
Hi.
Hi.
Hi, I love your show,
thank
by
you.
The way.
Thank you.
I just want to say, you know, sometimes, you know, we're all on the same side here, I think, when we're calling in. We're the same, okay? But and we could pick apart the case with Zimmerman intellectually. We could put it all different ways. But I think what we have to do is really do something as people. If we don't like something, what do? All we do is talk about it. But
well,
the power of words and the power of writing to representatives and to anyone you can and putting up petitions and joining something. I knew nothing about politics and I joined the Democratic Party and I felt like I was doing something. And I worked on the presidential campaign and I became involved and I saw how our laws work. I didn't know anything about it.
Right.
And the more you know, you become empowered. So instead of just complaining, we should get together and collectively do something.
Stand your ground laws are state thing, though. There's not much we can do about that from here.
Yeah, and I was shocked to find out that 22 states have this ridiculous law, and I think you're just going to see more and more of these kind of situations.
Right, and the NRA is fully funding the push for these laws.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Albert, and yet strangely silent on why wouldn't it have been great if Trayvon had a gun to protect himself?
That's right.
Huh. Because I thought more guns were always, always the answer.
Hmm.
Albert in Missouri, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Albert.
Hi, Steffi. I have a theory of the case that I believe fits the facts and evidence of the case. Fact number one. We got no bruises, blood, or DNA on Trayvon's hands.
Right.
He's got one scratch with no blood or bruising on that.
Right.
On his knuckle, right?
Right.
He's got a rope abrasion on his arm, right? He's got no other bruises anywhere else on his body that's consistent with a fight to the death. All right. On Zimmerman. Zimmerman's got a bloody, possible broken nose with none of Trayvon's DNA in it. Zimmerman's got blood and bruising on his knuckles consistent with a fight, but also none of Trayvon's DNA.
Mm.
Zimmerman's own statement is on Fox was, I never hit him.
Hmm.
Okay? Now we got no grass, no mud on the back of Zimmerman's jacket. Mm-hmm. We got a little bit of grass, but no grass stains, no mud on a rainy night on the back of Zimmerman's jacket or his elbows.
Right.
Now, we also got two or three small cuts with no bruising, consistent with being slammed on the, you know, on the back of Zimmerman's head, and, but no bruising consistent with having your head forced to a, to the concrete.
Right.
And then we have finally, this is just some of the facts of the case, but finally, the final fact I have is we got a 90-degree shot to the heart, 2 to 4 inches from the body. Now, this is a difficult shot for a pro. The only way an amateur can pull this off is he's either got to have total surprise or total control of the situation.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so my theory is this. Zimmerman leaves his vehicle in hot pursuit of Trayvon. Trayvon, once he gets out of sight, he and cuts down the tee, he runs a ways, and then he hides. He takes cover. He disconnects his call to his friend.
Right.
Because he doesn't want his voice to give him away, to give away his position.
Right.
Okay, Zimmerman's following. When Zimmerman gets to the tee, he doesn't see Trayvon. He runs on to the next road to try to intercept him from going out the back exit. When he gets there, obviously he doesn't see Trayvon, and on the way back to the tee, he disconnects the call with it with the 911 operator, okay?
Uh-huh.
Because he doesn't want his voice to give away his position, and he doesn't want to tell the operator where he is. All right, the operator's trying to get him to go back to the car so that they can meet him, so the police can meet him. He hangs up, but he tells the operator, oh, tell him to call me. Instead of telling him where he is or where he's going to be, he says, have them call me when they get here, and I'll tell him where I am. Okay, so mm-hmm. he goes back to the tee, and he's looking. He's still looking. He's still searching because he doesn't want to give up the pursuit. Trayvon's been hiding this for this period of time, maybe a minute, maybe two. All right? He's thinking, I haven't seen this guy come by. So everything's okay, right? Rachel, on the other hand, has been trying to call him back, right? He finally takes the call from her. He tells her, I think I lost him. And he comes out of wherever he's hiding. At this point, he's surprised to find Zimmerman still looking for him and probably too close to him for him to start running again.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Okay? Zimmerman goes into police mode, right? He grabs a hold of Trayvon. Trayvon asks if Trayvon tries to reason with him. What you following me for, man? Right? Zimmerman doesn't answer his questions just like a police officer would. Police officers don't answer questions. They ask questions and demand answers.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
He grabs a hold of Trayvon's hoodie, encompassing the drawstring. All right? Trayvon would naturally try to pull back and break this grip. I think he gets his arm caught in his own hoodie string, and that's where he gets the rope.
Oh,
no,
I see. Yeah.
Okay.
All right, honey.
Now,
this is getting really, really long. We have to take a break here. I get your okay.
Okay, let me skip to the chase.
Okay.
There was no fight. All right.
Okay. Well, yes, I think the injuries are consistent with that. That I don't think that it is as Zimmerman described. But that was a very long explanation as to what, and it may be true.
Right.
You know, that's the problem when you only get one side of the story. I mean, it's a lot of questions. 18 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Pull over. You're DWL, driving while laughing. It's the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller.
Okay, I'll be right over.
Get it, get it. 22 minutes after the hour, 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. All right, no matter how bad a day you're having, you know, we've all been in a bit of a mood since the Zimmerman verdict.
I like this stack.
This just, this is the hypochondriac of the show is going. This is just beyond. The Gawker brings us the story. Fly lands on woman's ear, flesh-eating maggots
God.
In her head. See? See what I'm saying? No matter how bad a day you're having.
At least you don't have flesh-eating maggots in your head.
In your head.
Or magnets.
Flesh-eating maggots
either way,
would be bad.
That'd be bad.
Yeah.
A quote-unquote writhing mass of maggots was found inside the head of a woman after a fly laid eggs in her ear.
Oh!
She needs the wax vac for sure.
Ow! Wow, we did that in unison.
Does it get maggots and wax out? We should ask.
Ow!
Ow, I have a writhing mass of maggots in my ear. We should add that to the commercial.
Maggot vac.
Rochelle Harris began experiencing headaches on the way back from a trip to Peru.
Ah, well, there
you
go.
Take that off my list of
flies. Yeah,
take that off my list of places.
Gee, isn't George Zimmerman from Peru?
Mm-hmm. Speaking of maggots,
a South American with a German name. Interesting.
But it wasn't until she woke up one night to scratching sounds inside her head.
Oh.
Vuka, 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 vuka.
Inside her head and...
Right. And what's a Cuban?
And fluid on her pillow that she decided... What is that? I hear scratching in my head. She decided to see a doctor. Yeah, I think that was probably wise. The diagnosis? Flesh-eating maggots.
Wow.
Wow. It seems an aptly named New World Screwworm... Yeah, you are screwed if you get the New World Screwworm.
Jeez.
Fly had managed to deposit several of its babies inside Ms. Harris, and they quickly chewed their way through her ear canal. I was very scared.
What? That's an understatement. I was very scared.
I was very scared. I wondered if they were in my brain. They actually very nearly were, while attempting to extract the larva nest with olive oil.
Olive oil.
That's what you do to
doctors
get
at the hospital.
You can make a maggot salad.
Add a little balsamic vinegar.
Right. Oh, is that oil and maggot?
And a crouton.
I'll take the oil and maggot.
I don't think they have that at Olive Garden.
No.
The doctors at Royal Derby Hospital inadvertently pushed them.
Not. The never-ending maggot salad.
Doctors at the hospital inadvertently pushed the maggots deeper into Harris's
head.
Eventually, surgeons were able to remove the pests from inside Harris. A total of 8 large maggots were found in a writhing
wax
mass.
Oh, my God.
See, there's another purpose for the wax vac.
Right? There you go. In case you have 8 or so maggots.
There are maggots in my head. Ow!
Chewing their way through your ear canal. Okay.
What? That was kind of gross.
That was really disgusting. Irish in Los Angeles, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hello.
Hi, Miss Stephanie.
Hello.
How are you? Hi, gang.
Hello.
Hi. I just want to say, I bet George never thought in his life, Mr. Georgie, that he would know what it's like to feel, be black in America, live under constant pressure.
Yeah. Yeah, well, I mean, it is a little ironic, you know, that he's like, oh, I feel, you know, threatened. I have to watch my step. It's like, yeah, welcome to every black man's life ever, right?
You know, but and one more thing before I go. How come nobody brings up the point that his father was a very popular judge? Maybe he had some kind of influence on the case. I don't know.
Yeah. Who knows? But that was some investigation those police did. Mark in Delaware, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hello, Mark. Hello, Mark.
Hello.
Hi.
Oh, hello.
I wanted to talk about what George Zimmerman and Edward Snowden have in common. They're both criminals who are trying to reinvent themselves as victims. And it's just so pathetic. They live in this little bubble where they create their own reality. Now, as far as the Zimmerman trial, I don't like conspiracy theories, but I'm starting to believe it because there's one point no one's talking about. Zimmerman is on tape saying that Trayvon lifted up his arms and said, "You got me, you got me." And he says that he'd said that after he shot him. Yet the experts say once your heart explodes, you can't speak in coherent sentences. So he had to have said that before he got shot.
Mm-hmm.
He was de-escalating.
Right.
How is that not unbelievable?
Yeah.
Why is no one talking about that?
Yeah, exactly. Jim was saying it was a hollow point bullet.
Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it just explodes.
Let's go to Charlotte in Atlanta. You're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Charlotte.
Hi.
Hi, go ahead.
I meant to say, hi, guys, but, you know, whatever.
Right.
I live in Atlanta. And I thank my stars every day that I was raised on the mean streets of the San Fernando Valley. I got to tell you, this place is going crazy. The residents in East Atlanta are living in a very volatile time right now. There have been a bunch of robberies, carjackings, and sadly, a bunch of my neighbors have been shot recently.
Wow.
And a few of them have resulted in deaths.
Hey.
Our neighborhood has gotten to the point where we've held a meeting, and 600 residents have come and stated that they are very, very scared, and I am scared for a different reason. I fear that there's going to be a whole lot of vigilante justice going on right here.
Yeah. Mm. Well, I mean, how this verdict is not a green light for racist vigilantes. I mean, there's going to be a lot of people thinking they can get away with this.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and the police are saying that they are trying to do everything that they can, but what does that mean to a community that's on the edge? And then they get a green light from Florida, which is our neighbor, saying it is perfectly fine to go ahead and shoot whoever you feel like and ask questions later.
Well, it's very convenient when there's only one side of the story, just yours, right? That's why this has just as a logical, ridiculousness. 29 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
You're a swell dish. I think I'm going to go for you.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to
Jimmy
it.
Jimmy Cagney.
Yeah, 34 minutes after the hour. See, I'm trying to highlight some good news in this week of dark news. And first of all, I think I mentioned I do not have flesh-eating maggots in my head. And
that's
secondly,
good news.
A Sharknado sequel has been approved.
That's right, and
sharks
it sounds
to invade
awesome.
New York City. Flying sharks are coming to the East Coast. Sci-fi has officially
laser beams on their heads.
They have greenlighted Sharknado 2. In that the Great Whites will attack Manhattan.
You know, I have one simple request, and that is to have sharks with frickin' laser beams attached to their heads.
How about Barracuda Cane?
Okay. All right. Also celebrity stack Mary Louise Parker says she's quitting acting over bitchy internet comments. Oh. Wow, I would have quit a long time ago if I cared. Just take a little peek into the interwebs about me. She said, the world has gotten too mean for me. It's just too bitchy. All the websites and all the blogging and all the people giving their opinion and their hatred, it's all so mean-spirited. It's all so critical. Oh, please. I get called a race traitor more before 6 a.m. than most people do all day.
If you're on your show and it's all calls and says, bleep, bleep.
Black
folks. Just like you said, but they call by the FCC.
You're a race traitor,
Seth Miller. I'm a race traitor, Seth Miller, talks on the show all day.
You're a race traitor.
One more women than she said with a harmless gay.
You're a race traitor.
Oh, I quit. Val in Florida, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Val.
Hey, guys.
Hi.
Listen, I just want to say I hope everyone really heard the alarm, and I hope we got a wake-up call. I agree with one of your prior callers, Debbie, who said that we should educate ourselves and get involved with politics so that we, we'll know what's going on. We'll understand the laws. We'll know, who we're putting in office. Secondly, I am an African-American woman who lives very close to Sanford here in Florida. Mm-hmm. And I just want to say that racism is an ugly beast. And if you are not a person of color and have never had to deal with discrimination because of the color of your skin, you have no clue of what we've dealt with forever, every single day of our lives, our children, our family members, It's really, really sad. And then the Black on Black Crimes issue, I believe that it's an in-house situation that should be talked about, in our homes, in our communities, in our churches, with one another. We should be teaching each other how important it is to, just take care of each other and not go out and kill each other because we're in emotional heat.
Right.
And then the fourth thing is the NRA, who has no regard for human life.
Yeah, exactly. Well, and that goes to her point, too, about paying attention, because these laws pass and we think, you don't get involved, you think nothing of it. And then stuff like this is going to start happening. People are going to die and women are going to die from a lot of these, egregious anti-choice laws that are being passed in state by state. So, she's right. We have to get involved.
Yep.
All right. Michael Tomosky, who I want to kiss and date and marry.
Ready?
Has he knocked it out of the park again?
Yes. The Nature of the Beast, the Breathless Press, and the phony IRS scandal. While you were watching the Zimmerman trial, he writes, the narrative about the IRS targeting Obama's enemies has been thoroughly debunked.
Yeah.
Just in case you were paying attention, the IRS quote-unquote scandal, largely dormant, is returning soon to a cable news channel near you. That would be today, I guess. Russell George, the Treasury Department Inspector General, who produced the original report at Daryl Issa's request, is going back before Issa's committee, and he's in for some pretty serious grilling by Democrats. The evidence is now even more preponderant than it already was, that there was absolutely no political agenda in the IRS's review of 501c4 applications. In fact, evidence is mounting that if anyone was behaving politically here, it was George and, of course, Issa and the other Republicans who launched into their baseless tirades about enemies lists and other such nonsense. Here's what happened while you were watching the Zimmerman trial or the immigration debate. Last Friday, Elijah Cummings, the ranking Democrat on ISIS committee, sent ISIS a letter asking he recalled George. And there's going to be a lot of very inconvenient facts that come out. And Tomosky finishes by saying, what the mainstream media that swallowed a hole from the Republican conservative spoon, running huge headlines and ominous editorials, all those breathy stories that got nearly half the American public believing on the basis of zero hard evidence the White House was involved here, it's not in the nature of the beast to run huge headlines saying no scandal here, but it should be in the beast's nature to take a much harder look at Issa, George, and other perpetrators of this non-story. And it should start today when he testifies.
Unfortunately, the president kind of fed into that by apologizing profusely for the supposed injustices, which turns out to be
had not been proven yet. Yeah, exactly. Hey, guess who else might be going to the pokey? Michelle Bachmann, legal expenses soaring in the face of investigations. Huh. Someone might have to cut back on bone white pantsuits.
Oh, dear.
Marcus will be
livid.
Bereft.
I'm just livid.
It's awful. I'm going to have to buy pink.
This is the worst catastrophe ever.
Yay!
It's like the Titanic and the Hindenburg and...
Chutzpah. Pardon me?
Chutzpah.
Yes. Bless you. Legal expenses for Representative Michelle Bachmann soared in the month after congressional ethics and criminal investigations were opened into allegations that she misused funds from her 2012 presidential campaign. Since the beginning of 2013, Bachmann has spent more than $200,000 on legal expenses using money from her congressional campaign political campaign.
We are
leadership.
In the last days.
Oh, Jehovah God. Oh, golly.
Lord, the day is at hand. We are in the last days. You are Jehovah God.
Okay. Angie in Virginia, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Angie.
Hey, lady. What I wanted to make a comment about today is that the Zimmerman case really pointed out that he's the face of racism 2.0. It's not, racism isn't just a black and white thing. It's a mentality thing. If you take his exact same mindset and put it back into the 50s or 40s, then his mindset is the exact same that created situations like an Emmett Till situation. And I think the black-white dynamic gives people a reason to excuse or dismiss the fact that racism no longer exists. And that's a sad commentary on our society.
Mm-hmm. Yep. I hear you. All right, let's go to Jane in Jersey. Hi, Jane. Welcome. Hi, Jane.
Hi.
Hi, go ahead.
Two things. This Blue Ribbon panel that Governor Scott appointed to investigate the Stand Your Ground. One of the people, at least one of the people on the panel, was the guy who wrote the Stand Your Ground law. And they were all handpicked by Governor Scott.
Right. Huh. Right. Gee, and they decided the law was just fine. Huh.
Yes.
Interesting.
Yes.
Yeah.
And another thing, the reason that George Zimmerman was not investigated to begin with is his father is a former magistrate.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it certainly sounds fishy to a lot of people. I mean, I mean, there are so many. I think we read a lot of this. A great piece yesterday. Just so many questions about the original investigation. First of all, the fact that they didn't check to see if anyone was missing a teenager. They just assumed he was some sort of stray gangster or something. Michael in Chicago, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Mike. Hello.
Oh, hello.
Hi, Michael.
Yes, I'm calling from Chicago, the scariest place on earth to everybody.
Yes.
I'm just commenting on my feelings about the George Zimmerman case, and pretty much the most disturbing part to me with, you know, that phone call that from one of the 911 calls, you hear Trayvon yelling for help. I don't care what anybody says, that was Trayvon. Just for information standpoint, what was Zimmerman's demeanor after the gunshot? Witnesses said that his demeanor was calm and acting like nothing really happened. He even said while he was getting handcuffed, just tell my wife I shot somebody. So how you go from that to a couple minutes ago yelling, help, help,
help, I've got a gun.
Your life.
Right.
Yeah, help, help, while reaching for your gun. Mm-hmm. And, I've seen somebody get shot lawfully and illegally, somebody that is supposed to have a gun. The first thing the only thing they probably would do, not yell help, yell get off me, I will shoot you. Repeatedly, I will shoot you if you do not get off me. Get off me, I will shoot you. Right. Not help, 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 while I'm reaching for my gun. You know?
Yeah.
And that's
yeah.
just the most disturbing and scary part to me, just hearing that boy yell, help, help.
Yeah, yeah,
help.
Exactly.
The caller in the background.
Well, and Michael,
saying,
being
not looking out there.
Being from Chicago, you must get as annoyed as I do with these people that, you know, white people bringing up Chicago and black on black crime as if they care about that. You know, and it's like, what does that have to do with, yes, sometimes black people kill black people. What does that have to do with the Zimmerman case? You know what I mean? It seems to me a way
yeah,
of like.
Exactly.
You know, mm-hmm. of distracting attention. Yep. Or the guy that called and said, oh, what about that black teenager that shot the baby in the baby carriage? It's like, do black people sometimes do bad things? Yes.
Yes.
And that kid got arrested.
You know what,
like it was a robbery that went wrong. And
good,
right.
You should say, good point. Good point. Now, does that mean that what happened with Trayvon is wrong or right?
Right.
Nothing to do with that.
That happened.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah, you know.
Well, and I love the guy said, what about that case? You didn't see that on the news. Well, where did you hear about it then, you douche? I guess it was on the news. A lot of people in that area said, of course that was on the news and people heard about it. But what is the point that sometimes, you know, Sometimes black people, you know, do crime as well. I didn't even get what the point of that was. Someone sent me the details of that. It was a robbery and it's horrible, and the
yep.
guy's in jail.
Yep.
So what does that have to do with the Zimmerman trial? All right, 45 minutes after the hour, back with the remaining moments of the Stephanie Miller Show.
That was strangely arousing.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller. Stephanie Miller.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Oh, I see what you did because there's a Beyonce story.
Yes.
Yes. Beyonce orders terrified man to put that damn camera down mid-song.
Oh,
it's getting to be a thing at a Beyonce concert when she...
She will bitch slap you into
the parking
lot.
I think that's
lot.
What people are buying tickets now for, not just the singing. Gawker brings us the story. Pretty much the greatest thing that can happen at a Beyonce concert, other than spontaneously replicating on stage, is Beyonce taking a little time out in the middle of a song to yell at someone in front of 20,000 people. It's
wild lip syncing.
It's like going on a safari and catching a lion at the exact moment it pounces on a gazelle. Scary, exhilarating, and beautiful in its natural brutality. Beyonce was made to yell at people. At a recent tour performance in Atlanta, Beyonce took a little time out from singing her direction-oriented number, Irreplaceable.
That was it.
Right.
Yes.
To publicly scold an audience member
for
recording her performance on his camera phone, probably because Beyonce is an ancient vampire and her magic doesn't work through screens.
Oh.
Beyonce swung her microphone in the face of a terrified man and barked, "Sing!" Previously in Beyonce Yells at People, Beyonce yells somebody's getting fired in the middle of a song after her lights fail. I do that several times a day here.
Yeah.
All right. Oh, yes, we have another email?
Yes, we have an email. Permission to be rude to long-winded black people. Hi, Chris. Please tell Stephanie that we black people will not think she is racist if she cuts short a long-winded black man who was not at the crime scene but feels the need to go in detail and bore the crap out of the listeners. We heard it all at the 4th of July barbecue, Uncle Nubby.
All right. Well, it did illustrate the point that only George Zimmerman gets a story, and so it leaves other people to... That was a very,
very
long-winded
very
story.
Long-winded
it was a
story.
Very complex story about what he thinks happened.
And why didn't you cut him off?
Because I didn't want to be racist. Because I'm a well-known race traitor.
Yes.
As you know.
All that white
All right.
guilt you carry.
Right.
Yeah.
Oh, it's a heavy load.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Go ahead.
Listen, I just want to call and talk to your friends in Florida. My friends, too. I don't have any problem with people in Florida, except, man, they cry. You know what? The people in Florida can vote locally. I wonder how many of your callers have ever ever been involved in a local election. It just doesn't make sense to me. Everybody's crying about a decision that was made by the people they put in there. Get them out of there.
You're talking about stand your ground?
Well, you know, stand your ground wasn't used in this case. Everybody's talking about that.
It actually was. It was read in the jury instructions. So while it was not the official defense, it actually was used. I mean, you got to remember how much money these groups have, too, these ALEC groups and stuff that are flooding in the NRA. They're flooding these states with money for these to get these laws passed. So I don't know if it's as easy as just blaming everybody in Florida. Hey, it's another story about Justin Bieber being a douche.
Oh, again?
Justin Bieber spits in a man's face, allegedly. An Ohio man claims Justin Bieber confronted him inside a bar and spit in his face because he thought he was secretly taking pictures of him. He called my mom something, called my dad something, called me something, and spit in my face. It's not the first time Bieber is accused of spitting in someone's face. The singer's neighbor in Calabasas made the same allegation when he confronted Justin about speeding in their gated community. He spits more than a camel. There's more stories.
He spits more than you.
Right? You think I would have empathy being a fellow spitter.
Do you live in Calabasas? You could
no,
spit on people there.
No, not, but not intentionally. I was wondering about what everyone in my neighborhood has a face mask on.
Right.
Now.
Yeah, boy band.
Hi, Steph.
You think boy band with his flawless face would
right?
not want to cover it up with a mask every time he saw you, but...
Oh, there's the spitting lady again.
Duck!
Okay, Bobby Brown is not happy about his daughter's engagement.
Oh, yeah, to her stepbrother?
Well, it's not really. I know. Here, this is where it gets weird. He said his daughter, Bobby Castrina, is getting engaged to Nick. He's not my biological brother, Gordon. Bobby made it clear he does not approve, reveals that Nick never even called him to ask for her hand in marriage. So to recapping everybody, the not official brother didn't call his quasi-stepdad to ask permission to marry his kindest sister.
Okay.
She pointed out Whitney treated him, Nick, like a son growing up, but he's not a blood relative and was never formally adopted. So it's only borderline Oogie.
No, it's Oogie. It's Oogie. It's not illegal or anything like that, but it's just gross.
He was sort of raised as kind of a brother.
Right. Mm. Yeah, but you wouldn't expect Marcia to marry Greg.
Right.
Peter to marry Bobby.
Though they weren't related, really.
Right. They were not related at all.
Right. They were a couple squares away.
Yeah, absolutely.
From the opening theme.
Alice was in between them.
Dale in Arkansas.
Yeah, Steph, this is Dale again. I'm an ex-law officer, as you probably already know. And on the Zimmerman trial, I've sat there and watched it go and grow. And I hate to say it this way, but he got by with murder.
Yeah.
If they would have charged him with first-degree assault, second-degree manslaughter, one of those charges, of course, he would have been in jail. But as it was, they went for a heavier one, and they did that on purpose, I hate to say, so that he wouldn't be put in jail. But
wow.
I really hate that this is happening in our world today, but it's happening more and more.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I mean, I don't know, Dale. I mean, how, again, as say you were still a cop, what do you do about this? You show up at a scene, you've got one dead person, one person with a gun, and then, you know, the one person tells a story. You know, how is that a law that makes any sense? Just go, okay, well, you can go then.
Yeah, well, the same way the other way. We were always taught to yell three times halt and then fire if they weren't turned towards us, if they were running from us, which was a good law. Now I'm seeing them. I saw a state patrolman the other day. I hate to say it. Won't say his name, but he pulled a gun on a woman in a car, and I was driving by, and I stopped, and I said, hey, what are you doing? And his comment was, shut up. You're not a law officer. Leave. And I had my radio on and never heard anything on it. So they're getting more aggressive all the way around. However, there are reasons to get aggressive too, but not like they've done.
Yeah.
And I just hate to say it, but he did get by with murder. I hope they'll file charges of first degree manslaughter or something and get him on the civil case.
Yeah, maybe in the civil. We'll see. Yeah, I know everybody's uptight about the NSA stuff. The only thing, we have to put cameras everywhere. Sorry, people. So that's be camera. Every Big Brother's got to watch everything.
They already do that in London.
All right, that's it for us today. I'd like to thank Chris LaVoy, Jim Ward, and, of course, Rebecca filling in for Travis on phones and drums. We will see you tomorrow on the Stephanie Miller Show.